In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27, Jesus sounds like a real estate agent, sharing the pros and cons of two different types of homes. Needless to say, our decision to accept or reject the plan of salvation has much more eternal consequences. And now, Pastor C. Wright talks about model homes. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry C. Wright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Father God, we thank you on today, and our hearts are encouraged, Lord, and our hearts are filled with praise towards you. Lord, I thank you for being the God that you are, the God that delivered us from a burning hell, the God that sent his son sacrifice his life on our behalf, that we may have access to you. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings. And now and today, Lord, we ask you to show yourself by the coming forth of your word. Father, help it to heal, help it to convict, help it to convince. And Father, help it to build us up and change, that we may be better servants for you as we build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles or tablets, I ask that you turn to or scroll to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27, we're going to try to cover. Matthew, 7th chapter, verses 24 to 27. And while you're getting that, I'll just say to let you all know that we've wrapped up our last series, and the last series was Show and Tell. And what we're going to do now, we're transitioning into somewhat of a different format, and this format will be the book of John. We're going to go through the book of John and preach through that. That's going to link with our Tuesday night service as well, as we study and get even deeper into that gospel. This is going to start not today, not next week, but the week after, because they're wrapping up something now at Tuesday night, the Contagious Christian series, which is a good series. They are wrapping that up, and then we're going to try to just make sure that the sermon and Tuesday night corresponds. Amen. But in the meantime, what I decided to do is come before you all in these next 2 weeks with sermons that I've come to you all before. All right. This one, I kind of tweaked it a little bit and renamed it Model Homes. All right. And we're going to talk about that today. In addition, I want to say that I'm excited about the movie night. You know, I'm always excited about my Laffy Taffys and my popcorn. Even though my teeth say no, I still say yes. So I'm excited about that. And I'm also excited about bowling. I used to bowl a little bit in the day, so I'm going to just stretch out a little bit, making sure I don't pull nothing. And we were going to bowl. It's funny, the last time I bowled, I came up there with my ball, and the dude, I said, y'all got a cleaner? And I put my ball up on the counter, and the dude that was, I guess, the owner of the place, he looked at my ball, and he kind of laughed, and then he said, hey, so-and-so, come over here and look at this ball, man. This ball's so old. And I was like, man, this is my ball, man. I didn't ask you all that. I just asked you if you had a cleaner. And I'm going to still come out there with my old ball, and I'm going to beat some folks. So I'm excited about that as well. It's just an opportunity for us to fellowship. Amen. You get to know each other more and just to, like I said, just to enjoy each other in the Lord. Amen. So I'm hoping to see you all there. Let us begin, as I stated, by reading the scripture. It's Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And if we have that up, I'm going to ask you all to just read that. Therefore, everyone who hears these words, I'm going to ask you to read that one more time. I'm going to ask you to read it one more time.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Amen. Continue. And the rain fell. And the floods came.
And the winds blew and slammed against that house.
Yes. Everyone who hears these words
of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell and great was its fall.
Amen. Wow. This is Jesus talking. And he's finishing up his Sermon on the Mount, amen, with a parable here. But by way of introduction, you know, life is about choices, and choices have consequences, right? And it's a decision that you got to make. And we're going to talk about the difference between decision and choice. You know, it is a difference between those words, but it's interesting because And this is just for the young people. Your decisions and your choices, you know, they put you in a place. They put you in a place where, honestly, once you make those decisions, it will follow you for life sometimes. Amen? Just give you an example. I went recently to went to a class reunion with my wife. And so we got there, and ahead of time, you know, folks, I guess Karen had told folks I was a bishop, a cardinal, or something. And so I go in there, and you can feel the ambiance, right? You can tell that folks haven't seen each other in about a 35-year reunion, and people was like, oh, yeah, and when you walk in there, you can smell the ambiance, the Cavassier in the air, if you will, and everybody was ready to get down, and Bishop Seawright steps in there, and all of a sudden, you got to see, like, huh? Yeah, and they're like, well, you know, and then all of a sudden folks like, you know, taking pictures with us and everything else. Then it was time to sit down. This was the funny part for me. Time to sit down, and I said, where you want to sit, Karen? You want to sit? And then all of a sudden, you know, friends at this table, and Karen was like, is it somebody here? And like I said, now you got to remember, everybody mood was to get down. Get down. And all of a sudden, you know, I think the lady said, well, so-and-so is sitting here. Said, we can make room for you. And the effort wasn't quite there, you know, about making room for. And then before she settled it, Karen said, no, that's okay. That's all right. And I'm just sitting back there, standing there, saying, wherever you want to sit, I'm good. And then all of a sudden we look over here, and it looks like it's full here, and everybody's putting their purses and everything else to claim seats. And so I said, there's a table back there. I said, you want to go back there? The table the furthest in the back. We go and we sit there, and I mean, we sit there by ourselves. And I'm good. I'm good. So I'm just sitting there, and then all of a sudden people getting their drinks, and I'm watching them get their drinks, and they just slide to their table and everything else. They don't want to sit with the bishop. They don't want to sit with the bishop. And then all of a sudden, our last chance, somebody come in, and all of a sudden this lady that look, she's dressed like she go to church. So all of a sudden, Karen knows it. Like I said, these are her classmates. And then she says, so-and-so, you know, Karen said, come and sit over here with us. And then what you hear is the table, the party table saying, hey, so-and-so, come on over here, girl, and blah, 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 bring your husband over here and everything else. And this lady was torn between, does she sit with the party or does she sit with the lonely bishop? So she was like, you know, and then Karen said, girl, that's okay. Just go and sit where you want to. Well, she felt compassion and pity. And so she came over there and sat with the lonely bishop. I'm in my 50s. And it still goes to where, as I stated, your choices have consequences. And the deep thing is, if you choose to live for Christ, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. And people are going to look at you differently. It doesn't change. Whatever you're going through now in middle school, and all of a sudden you look a little different, you're going to look a little different in your adulthood as well. It doesn't change. You just have to stand for Christ. You have to stand for Christ, okay? And that's what I'm trying to tell you. It doesn't stop. I can relate. And I'm telling you, because of my age and my experience, I was cool. If I would have stayed there by myself and it was because simply I am serious about Christ, I was cool. I was good. Amen. But that made me think about what we're talking about today, how decisions and choices come together to where they actually point to where you're going to spend eternity. You know, they make model homes because what happens is, like when we bought our home, they had a model up and prepared already so you can see what you're going to invest in. And Jesus kind of took a role of a realtor or a inspector, if you will. And he talked about two types of homes. And these were going to be model homes to show you exactly what you are going to get into if you choose to decide. Now, today, there are like several TV shows, and they love one at my house called Fixer Uppers. They love that one. I don't know the people's name, but I've seen so much of them that they feel like kinfolks. And it's all about fixing up homes. And people make a choice. They got to decide what they want to choose, you know, to have in their homes and everything else. And the lady, the wife, she's good. Those are some sharp homes afterwards. But you kind of see how she just says, well, you know, and gently leads the couple into saying, you know, maybe you should do this, and maybe we were thinking about doing this and this and this. We're going to open this up. We're going to take this wall out, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, okay, good, good. Good. All right. Yeah. And then when they do it at the end, I haven't seen anybody say, I don't like this. I haven't seen anybody say it. Matter of fact, they'd be like, oh, my goodness. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I didn't know that home could look like that. It's just beautiful. She's just got that eye for that. Well, Christ had an eye for life. Amen. And he said that I'm going to tell you at the end of my sermon, out of all these words that I've preached to you, I'm telling you now is a decision time. It's time to decide. See, everyone is building a life right now. Right now, you are in the process of building. You are building. Every ambition that you have is a brick. Every word that comes from your mouth, it's a brick. Every decision or choice that you're making, it's like a brick that is building a life. It's building a life, brick by brick by brick, choice by choice by choice. You are building a life. A life. A book that I would definitely tell you all to get is a book by Warren Wiersbe called Life Sentences. If you can just check that out, it's not a regular read. In fact, it's just a book of characters from the Bible that he lined up a character and chose a scripture in the Bible to describe this character. And I asked you all before when I had spoke this same sermon, what would the scripture be in your life? When it's all over and it's said and done, what would the scripture be in your life? For example, he says of Samuel, the Bible character Samuel, he uses 1 Samuel 12 and 2. I have walked before you from my youth to this day. And if you know Samuel, that's exactly what he did. He lived out his whole life for the Lord. For Solomon, he used Deuteronomy 32 and 29. If only they were wise and would understand this and discern what their end will be. That's the scripture he used for Solomon. And if you know anything about Solomon, he started off strong and fast. He poured himself into the word. But then all of a sudden in his midlife, he drifted away from God and he got secular on us, right? He got real secular and he tried to find things that would replace God. And then there is a debate as to the end of Solomon's life. I would like to think, after reading, that Solomon came to his senses and came back to the Lord. But there are some that say, no, he didn't. So there's a debate. Like I said, I believe that he did come back, came to his senses at the end, especially when you read the later chapters of Ecclesiastes. You would see that. So what will your life sentence be? Right? In Matthew 7, Jesus concludes his sermon on the mount with a parable. And a parable, this parable stresses one point, that you got a decision to make. And a decision is different from choices. Decision is different from choice. A decision is like a one-time thing, if you will. And it's a made-up mind. Right? But choices are a bit different. If you look at the word choice, you will see that choices are about perception, how you perceive things. How you perceive things. So a decision can influence how you make choices along the way. So depending on what decision you make, honestly, it will dictate what choices that you will make. Amen? So Jesus was getting real deep here to say that you have a decision to make. There is one decision that you will build your choices on. There is one decision that you will build your choices on. He spoke of two builders here. Two builders. Two builders that made different decisions. One is considered wise, the other is foolish. right? And the deep thing is that every sermon that you hear up here, every sermon that comes from this pulpit is all about a decision. It's about a decision. I don't care how we go around about it, it boils down to where you have to make a decision. And to be clear, right now, the decision is, what will you do with Christ? Right? Because Jesus came, just to be clear, Jesus came saying that I am the fulfillment of all what God promised. I am He. I arrived. I'm He. I am the fulfillment of what God promised. Come to me, all ye that labor and are. Come to me for what? For rest, right? So the search is over. He's saying the search is over. Come to me. I am the fulfillment. If you've read all in the Old Testament, I am the fulfillment of all what God has promised. And God in the Old Testament gave us laws to show us one thing, that we are not good law keepers. That's what He showed us. He gave us the law to show us that we can't keep rules. Because what we will do is we will do me. I'm gonna do me. That's the base of us. Right? And like I told y'all before, the anthem is you do you, and I'ma do me. And we love doing me. Right? And that's what Christ is saying here. What you gonna build your life on? What is that decision going to be? Is it going to be the fulfillment of all what God has promised, which is Christ? Or is it going to be you? And this is what you do. Right? All other ground is sinking sand. Will you follow Christ? And will you accept God's promise? Christ is the fulfillment of all His promise, and it shows that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Or will you be like Solomon during his secular years, just doing his thing, right? Trying to find satisfaction in substitutes. Trying to find satisfaction in substitutes. One writer says, you know, trying to find reputation and not character, lust and not love, prices and not values, confidence in yourself and not faith in God, making a living and not making a life. Try to find satisfaction in substitutes. Substitutes. When Christ is saying, I am the real deal. I'm the real thing. And he goes in that 14th verse, the 24th verse rather, and says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. That decision is the foundation of your life. You're going to build it on the rock. He says, everyone that hears these words of mine. Everyone is a deep word because it means everyone. 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 All y'all. All us. However you want to slice it means everyone. Everyone who hears these words. See, depending on what you choose your foundation to be, these words that Christ are speaking, and even the words that I'm speaking to you today, will either sound like words of life or it'll sound like gibberish. It depends on what decision you make. See, because up here now, these words that are based on God's scripture, these words that I'm speaking that's based on God's word, is either ministering to those who have made the right decision, or this is just a boring time for those who have made another choice. I can't wait till this service is over. I have things to do. It depends on what decision you make. Christ's words will sound like sweet music in your ear if you have made him your choice, if you decided to make him your choice. However, if you have not, and you decided to build a life, try to build a life on sinking sand, then this sounds foolish. This sounds foolish. That rock that he talked about, that rock that he said, some people say that that rock means Christ himself. Others said, no, the rock means the word. I like to look at it this way. That rock is Jesus. Right? That rock is Jesus. That he's the chief cornerstone. Right? He's the chief cornerstone. And then those choices that we make, yeah, that's the word. Because each time we make a choice and we base it on the word, then we're building a good life, a good house. On the rock. So either way it goes, if you're talking about Christ, you're dealing with a rock. And if you're talking about his word is rock solid as well. So we're building a good structure. A good structure. Amen. And you need a good structure for down here. You need a good structure for down here. Because, see, here's another thing. In James, the first chapter, it says this in the 22nd verse. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So it means that it goes beyond just hearing. But you got to also have some actions, and action speaks louder than words, right? Action speaks louder than words. And in fact, when you look at folks' actions, you can see what choice they've made. Just by stepping back and looking at actions, you can see if Christ is the solid rock, or you can see if they are on sinking sand. Just by how they are living their lives. He said that you would be a wise man. You would be like a wise man if you build on the rock, which is Christ. And he said that here's the advantage of this house, because like I said, he was showing folks modeled homes. And he says, in this home, look, solid foundation. Wise builder here. So when the elements come, right? When the elements come, when the rain comes from above, right? And when the floods come from below, right? And then the wind, no telling what direction that comes, right? That rain and that flood and those winds come, you are on a solid rock and you're on a solid foundation. And these rains and winds and floods, they're talking about the challenges of life, right? The challenges of life. I told you all that trials and troubles, they don't have announcements. They don't say, here I come. They don't have an AccuWeather app. You can't find a Doppler radar for troubles and trials telling you they're coming, as if they're like on the action news saying, you know, this is whoever is on TV right now, and I'm telling you that the north by northwest winds are bringing in people talking about you. And on Friday, we have a cloudy forecast because family will be tripping. You don't have that, right? Right? And on Wednesday, when you, during the doctor's appointment, we see a diagnosis that you don't like. You need something solid to deal with this. You need something solid to deal with these things. And Jesus has said, I am your anchor. I am your foundation. I am your rock. I am your rock. There's an old song that Martin Luther wrote, A Firm Foundation. And in verse 4, this verse always got to me because he says, when through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. I only design that, in my words, that mess that is on you will be the only thing consumed and refined, and you will be refined. That's how God takes care of us through all of those fiery trials and tribulations. But if you are on that other trip, oh boy, oh boy. Because here's the thing. You need a Savior like my Savior. You need a Savior like my Savior. Because these bodies are not made to last forever. And that enemy without him, hey, that's a losing battle. He's going to eat you up. Without Christ, without God, Satan will have, in Elder Williamson words, a field day with you. Right? You're no challenge for him. But if you are Christ, then 2 Corinthians, that fourth chapter, beginning at that seventh verse, is an encouragement for you. Because it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. We ain't nothing but clay. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. What an encouragement for us when we have a Savior. You need a Savior like this. You need a Savior like this. Then in verse 26, he moves on to go on and tell about the other builder. And he said, when those same situations in life came, right? The wind, flood, and the rain, when that all started hitting that house that you built on sinking sand. Guess what happened? It didn't just fall. It said, great was its fall. So you built a house on what you thought was best. And even when you talk to realtors, they'll tell you, yeah, there are many decisions in building, but the main one is location, location, location. And you decided to build on your own foundation, which shifts, right? Which shifts, which sinks and everything else. And when life comes, you're always in a panic. When life hits, you're always in despair. And here's the deep thing about it. You decided to go out on your own. You decided to do things your way. You were committed to doing me. And as soon as something occurs, you say, why God? Lord, I mean, why you let this happen to me, Lord? Lord, why did you let this happen to me? I love you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. Father, Lord, why didn't you let me enjoy doing me? Why you didn't let me be comfortable in doing me? And that's our cry to God when we are locked up, when we are, right? When we get that diagnosis, when we get that separation, when we get those creditors calling and everything, we get that, Lord, why? Because you were doing you. You were doing you. And it's like I read in one book, although you can make the decision or the choices, you can't choose the consequences. You don't get to choose the consequences. There are just some natural consequences to your nonsense. So the decision to be made is, are you going to let him be Lord and you're going to build your life on him? Or are you going to say, I'm going to try this thing at being my own God? I'm going to try this thing about being my own God, and I'm going to try this thing of doing it my way. Because if you choose his way, he's going to say, humble your know-it-all self to me. Give it to me with your know-it-all self. Trust in me and not you. Depend on me and not your limited resources. But depend on my unlimited power. So it boils down to a choice. I don't care how we slice it or how we cut it. What it boils down to, sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, we say choose. We say choose. And then I have to throw one other thing on it in closing. Choose ye this day, because tomorrow is not promised. Do you know that right now is a blessing for you? You know, if you just inhale right now, that's a blessing. That is a blessing. But it's also an opportunity. It's all, if you're not right with him, it's also an opportunity, because your next breath can be, I believe in you and I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. That can be your next breath right now, because you're not promised a next breath after that. Choose ye this day who you will serve. And here's my favorite invitation that I keep saying to you all and I read before to you all. It says, Jesus will do what he has promised. He will bless you in the sense given to that word in the Beatitudes. He will make you salt to benefit others and light to this dark world. He will enable you to understand and obey the Bible. He will teach you to pray. Then he will bear you through all the cares, dangers, and frustrations of this life to an eternity of unbroken fellowship with him in heaven. What an invitation. What an invitation. So what are you going to do today? What you going to do today? You going to continue to do you? Or are you going to give it over to the one that fulfills all the promises of God? What are you going to do today? What will you do today? Stop playing with fire, literally. Stop playing with fire. Choose ye this day who you will serve. And as the altar workers come up, I will tell you that these folks, if you have made that decision, and if you want to make that decision, they will help you. They can assist you in that area. And for those who just want prayer, they're struggling, and you know, the enemy can sometimes get you to thinking that you're not saved when you really are. He can. He can mess your mind up and everything else to a point where you say, man, am I saved? Because you're going through so much and everything that he just like, you're like, man, am I his? Yes, you're his. Yes, you're his. But you just may need to pray. You may need to pray. But it'll be evident by your life and by your choices, by your decision and by your choices, that you are his. Don't let this moment pass you by. If you need prayer, these folks can pray with you. And for those who may want to make the decision to have new life as their church home, you know what our motto here is, the more the merrier. Come on. Come on. More important than that, don't let this moment pass you by. Begin your relationship with God as he being your Lord and Savior today. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.